Welcome to the Musicians Insider. I'm Cronus, and today we have a great person named Daryl Herz, who's already been on the program before, and he's going to talk to us about all the great things he's done since we last had him on, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming events that are going on. So, Daryl, great to have you back. What's been going on?
Wow. How much time do we have?
We have a lot of time, but let's just get to the point.
Yeah. Just this year's been a lot of conferences, festivals, attending, but also hosting, of course. Like we've done Screen by Screen, Indie 101, and Music Pro Summit as online conferences. Indie Week is coming up. Plus, we launched our DIT community platform this year, which is like Facebook, LinkedIn, Zoom for the music industry. All of our online activities are there, but it's great. We're almost at 1,500 members. People from around the world, from all walks of music life, from being a creator to producer to label to manager. And we're really looking forward to our future on DIT as far as bringing artists and industry together.
I'm actually really proud of what you guys have done. And let me just put it into perspective. I went to Canadian Music Week 99. Okay. And I met everyone in the industry back in those times. We played at Bovine, that was way back. And that was like 2000, 2001. It's 2023 now. Everyone I know in the music industry is dead or quit or retired, or it's just no longer the people that I know. I was in LA for so long. I came home. I found you guys and your DIT community that hadn't been started yet, but you had started these online things because of the pandemic, trying to figure it out. And it was like so refreshing to find this community in Toronto. And then when you launched the DIT thing this year, I was like, this is awesome. So I've been trying to, one of the questions I had for you is, how can I convince my band members to join DIT? Because I'm finding it's like I'm preaching to my friends saying they need to join this and then they don't do it. I was thinking there's got to be an angle there that we should talk about. And I also want to ask you a little bit about what's coming up.
Sure. Well, I completely understand that, here's an online thing. And it's really, I think overall the music industry has this weird sense of prove it to me first kind of attitude. And this is, I don't know why, but it's like, kind of like, we're always late to the game in streaming. We were always late to the game with MP3s. We're late to the game in every aspect. Seems like it's almost like, don't change anything from the last 20 years. And we're kicking and screaming kind of like against change. You know, the whole Napster thing with Metallica is the story around it. Right. So I totally get it, but artists are always saying how hard it is, but here's an opportunity to make it easier. And I think that's one of the things that, again, I don't know, do you want it easier? Here's you can meet people from around the world and collaborate, songwrite, book shows. You never know, that's the thing. And I mentioned I was at a lot of conferences. Literally every conference I go to now, someone comes up and starts talking to me like they know me because they've been our online platform in one of our sessions. And I just was out west and I met Jenny Nash, who's an artist that I've known for 3 years because she literally has been with us online this whole time, but we had never met in person. And so we finally met in person and I met Mel Simmons. I've seen Mel and Brad a number of times in person at events, but they've been coming to our online sessions and Mel started a publishing company, So that's the thing. It's like, you want access to people. Think of it like this. You go on Facebook and you see real estate ads, you see ads for restaurants, you see posts about comments of things that you got to kind of dig for the music actual content. Same thing with LinkedIn. Now I go on LinkedIn and I hate LinkedIn now. I used to love it, but I go in and in my DMs is, hey, are you looking for an investment opportunity? No. Are you looking to buy a new property? No. I'm hit with all non-music things. So if you think of it, everybody on this platform is in music, either a creator or a business. All the content is music. There's education about how to do the business.
And just for a minute, let's just stop for a second for any of my viewers and listeners who don't know what you're saying. This platform, we're talking about the DIT platform, which Daryl and his team created over the last year since I met him earlier, because we first met up to talk about the Music Pro Summit. And during that time, they've developed an online platform now where you can just log in and be part of the community all the time. And Daryl just randomly goes live. And you'll catch me. I'll watch you because I have it on my phone.
You're always on there. Yeah, you're always on there.
Well, I have a new job, and I haven't told you about this. I'm doing online reputation management. I come from the SEO space. And in the last 3 months, I started a new role doing that, which is allowing me to finally do the things I want to do in the music space financially, but then still, you know, I don't have to worry about little things anymore. So I'm just trying to get back where I can promote my new, I'm doing a new album. It'll be interesting. We'll get to it later. But I love the fact that you guys are doing this. Like, I know you because you guys reached out, wanted to come on the podcast to promote your community. I'm like, this is a good thing. And I'm complaining that I can't figure out the music industry in Canada, and you guys are handing us a way to do it. But if there's anyone who should be able to navigate the music industry in Canada, it's me. I got albums done. I got shows I can play. What is my problem? It's really, I didn't commit.
That's part of what I say. Like there seems to be this thing, and it's just, you know what? Artists are artists. They want, you know, you want to be more creative, and you know, sometimes there's a gap between thinking business and doing art, and
oh yeah,
you know, there's got to be a bridge there, and that's why often artists need a team around them to help communicate the business.
Okay, so I want to interject on that. So I have a team in Toronto, Slam and Media, and I love them. And here's what we're gonna do: we're gonna finish. Right. We're gonna finish the record first, and then we're gonna come up with a 12-month plan, and then we're gonna follow it. So that's what we're doing. None of this bullshit of it's ready, it's out, get it out the door. We didn't market it yet, and a wasted album. I got two albums in Spotify. I just wanted them out, but now it's like, well, why did you want them out if you weren't gonna market it? It's like it hurts. I don't want to even apply for the Junos anymore this year because I already applied.
It's okay. This is normal. It's all
good. But applying for the Junos is a good investment because it puts your finished record in front of people who are forced to listen to it. So it's like, if you can get it in the deadline, do it. All right. So back to what
if I could comment about that, and I do want to mention to everybody, DIT stands for Do It Together.
Yes.
Right? So, and that
I'll put the links below.
That's important. Yeah. DIT Music Community. We got an app. It's in the App Store. But to what you're saying, you know, a lot of people put music out and then try to promote and then try to get people there and all that stuff. That's the normal part, you know, and we're trying to connect people to industry, but also resources and education. And one thing you mentioned is about applying to the Junos, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, apply to everything. Like people are like, oh, should I apply to South By? Well, you know what? Somebody listens to it. Even that alone is a way to get ears and eyeballs on your stuff and apply to like everything you can. And, you know, hopefully
they'll see you apply. They'll see you apply years in a row, and then they might let you in after. They'd be, oh, this guy's applied 5 years straight. You know, they look at that.
Absolutely. But you just never know. Right. All I know is when you don't go to conferences and events, you're at home, you meet nobody. If you aren't handing out flyers or business cards, nobody walks away with anything that has your brand on it. If you're not applying to things, there's no sort of relationships built, because sometimes it takes relationships to build. Like I've had some artists that when we were running Indie Week, we were getting over 3,000 artist applications, and I would listen to them all. Then if I'm at a conference, somebody goes, hey, I'm in this band. I'm like, oh, you applied to Indie Week 2 years ago. I remember you guys. You had that song talking about walking down the street in a thunderstorm or whatever, right? They're like, yeah, how'd you know? And I'm like, well, I listened to everything. Yeah. And so that way, like, I remembered them. So when I met them, there was at least a starting point, not I've never heard of you. And so you have... I literally you have to be kind of everywhere all the time when you can, right? And yeah, like that's part of promotions too. Like you got to get in people's minds, and then you got they got to remember you.
So on that note, I was working in the SEO industry, and I would just go to Webmaster World in Vegas every year and start going to the conferences in that industry. And how you grow your ability to be in any industry, whether there's music or not, is by going to events. So for NAMM show in Anaheim, if you're a musician and you can get to the States, go to the NAMM show, bring your CDs and give them to all of the people of the gear you use. And you'd be surprised how many sponsorships you can get. I'm endorsed by everyone I've gone after, except for
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
I got them all. I got these monitors. I got my Ernie Ball guitars. I don't even have records that are selling yet. But they're good, and I know it's good. So it's just a matter of getting the right mixture of, you know, putting things together.
But that's a prime example, man. And this business is who you know, 100% who you know.
I want to mention something else, which I think on the education front, which is very important to you more than to me, because I'm a little ignorant. When I was in the States and the whole residential school thing was going on, we never heard about it down there. And I wanted to mention that, there was a lot of stuff in the States going on with, all the Mexico infiltration of the border and all the stuff there, but they wouldn't talk about Canada much or anything to do with the indigenous peoples. And I want to mention how I think it's really cool at the beginning of your, whenever you have an event or something, when you like to just talk about where everyone's from, they talk about where their land rights are and all the indigenous peoples. But I need more education on how to do that, because I don't know how to say it right. I don't really understand it. So if I'm going to help spread things about, you know, our communities and that, how we can help out, we need more education on how to do that as individuals, because I'm a white guy who's trying to make it, and there's all these grants for everybody else. I'm not complaining about that, but I'm having trouble fitting in sometimes too, and I don't want to step on anyone's toes. So I think it's important to recognize all those things.
Absolutely. It's such a narrative of Canada's history that's been not talked about for a long time. Gord Downie brought it to light with the talking about Chani Wenjack, and that turned into Downie Wenjack Fund. We've done some work with them, and really the first part is listening a lot, being present and listen. I think is like I was right before the pandemic, I was invited to Folk Alliance. And during Folk Alliance was the Indigenous Music Summit, and I was invited to that as an ally. And that role is to sit in conversations and listen and observe. So I was very fortunate to do that. And at our last in-person Indie Week, we had invited leaders of Indigenous communities and members to participate. And we had some closed-door meetings with funders and Indigenous communities to talk about, you know, some sensitive topics. We had showcases. So it's been a process. Like, it's not overnight, and it takes a bit of time of, you know, listening and understanding that there's a different mindset and reason. And, you know, one of the things that I'll just sort of mention is, you know, we do music because we like music, and, you know, often it's we hear radio and we want to be on the radio, where a lot of these marginalized communities, it's we're telling our story through music, and it's not about getting on radio. It's about telling their story. And if you listen to the lyrics, you could also learn a fair bit, because that's how these stories are being carried on, is through song and lyrics. So
the CBC has been pretty good. They've been helping. I don't know what you think, but I noticed that, because I do a lot of driving around. I listen to the NPR and CBC once in a while, and I do notice a lot of coverage, and it's interesting to see. Now I can't figure out how to crack it myself, but we'll figure that out later.
CBC. We just had like a orange shirt day not too long ago, a few weeks ago, and that's where they gave the programming to Indigenous artists, which was great. And I got to say, I'm in the middle of watching one of the Yellowstone spinoffs, the one with Harrison Ford. And they do have a narrative on a residential school, but in the States. Yeah. And so this one part I just watched was one of the female students that ran away, you know, meets... another member of Indigenous community, and one of the things they said is like, okay, we got to hide you, kind of like, I'm paraphrasing, of course. And they're like, well, we could go to Canada, but he's like, no, it's worse. And that said a lot.
Damn.
That said a lot. And it's wow. Like, yeah, Canada was really bad.
So. I hadn't heard that in any media yet. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I pay attention. I do my best to try to find where these stories are being told and try to, you know, pay attention as much as I can.
And it's cool because I think I noticed some of the DJs and people on the CBC show starting to join the DIT community too, right? You see some of the names. Absolutely. And that's great. And that's what we need. And, you know, I'm going to have to start. I got to come back to Canadian Music Week. It's been a while.
Yeah. On DIT, the best thing is just go through the member list and just start talking to people and like, what are you about? What are you trying to do? And you know, I just had a phone call with, you know, somebody I really, really look up to in the music business who's done a lot. He's worked with almost every single name you could think of. What we've been talking about online is people add value. And so, you know, give your time to talk to people, talk and learn about them, where I find everybody's like, here's my song, here's my show. And it actually pushes people away because they don't know you yet. And I just got off the Zoom call, you know, with like I said, somebody I really look up to in the business. And he said, it's all about people. Like, it's literally all about people. And that's it. And everybody sees the tech trends and the toys and all that stuff. And they think, oh, that'll get me there faster. And it's like, no, you got to know people. And that's
you got to know your
so important.
But you also know this because you're an automator, you're a techie. You got to know the tech where you can support yourself. Like this podcast we're doing right now, I was out doing stuff. I came home, I set everything up and I did it. I didn't need someone to support it. But not everyone knows how to use like an iRig connected to a phone microphone. You know, that's not something you can't just set up that quick because I have a computer science degree, a lot of experience in hardware and stuff. I'm able to run the show myself. But I mean, some people don't have that luxury. So learning the tech is super important, but you can't depend on the tech.
Well, like, so one, we're in an age where, and I say this very openly, like the words, I don't know, actually, sorry, that doesn't work. We've got Google. And if you can't do Google, open up ChatGPT, ask that, like, so the I do not know part doesn't work anymore. Right. And you can find a YouTube video that explain almost everything in 2 to 5 minutes. So that part, anybody could do this. What I'm talking about is, oh, there's this new thing that's going to make me a star. And then everybody thinks, okay, I'm going to be successful without putting in the work and without creating relationships. You know, when you see a lot of these big artists, you know, Metallica, for instance, they now have generations going to their show, like from grandfather to son to grandchild, they're at the show, right? Why? Because that initial fan has still bought into the band. They still believe in them.
And God bless Metallica for keeping metal going. Yeah, thank God. Because people are talking about, oh, this band's better. It's like, if it wasn't for Metallica, Slayer wouldn't even have any shows. Like, it's just what Metallica did. And I love it. And I'm also a huge Pantera fan. Like, I got to see Dimebag Darrell and stuff. So I need to go see Zach doing a cover of Pantera live. I need to see that.
I got to see it this summer and it was awesome.
It's on November 10th.
but this is the thing. It's like, why do people stick around as fans over time with bands, right? And it's because often they treat the fans really well. They give them what they want. You know, I was at a concert, I don't know how many years ago it was now, but it was an Iron Maiden concert. I love Iron Maiden. I saw the Peace of Mind tour. I saw the Power Slave tour. I saw the Somewhere in Time tour. And the thing that, you know, and then I didn't see them for a while. And a friend of mine was a publicist for Bruce Dickinson, so Goddess Passes. And it was a show where they literally said, we're not playing any of our old music. We're only playing the new music. Immediately, everybody was pissed off. And walking out of that show, so many people were like, that was the worst Iron Maiden show ever. I'm not going to see them again. And the thing is, the music business, right? You have to deliver what other people want. And your demand stays high when you're delivering what other people want. The magic is when your art just happens to be what other people want. And that's what everyone's always chasing. This is what I create. Well, do people want that?
But sometimes right? It's that one album that sounded like them and then they can't do it again.
Right. But, you know, like so a lot of big artists say that song is no longer mine. I released it. It's now the world song, not mine. And they're going to decide the value of that song. Is it charting on radio or not? Is it charting on Spotify or not? It only charts when people want it to, right? Because they're playing it. So that's the thing is like, are you creating something that people want? And, you know, when you get old, like me, you've been around a while and you've seen trends come and go and you go, well, that's a trend. That's going to be gone in like 8 months. Nobody's going to care after that. And everybody's jumping on that trend and they're chasing something that's already becoming obsolete. And a real prime example is, you know, around 1980, was it 89, 90? Well, anyways, the second Nirvana released Nevermind, hair metal was dead. So if you were a hair metal band trying to release an album 2 years after Nevermind, sorry, that's not what people want. So,
and at that time, it took about 2 years to do an album then. Like it seemed like it took an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know a friend who is managing a band, Canadian artist. They were signed and they were in LA, $500,000 into the recording. And they got a phone call. Hey, this band Nirvana came out. So this is done. You can go home now.
Could you imagine that?
And I was on the road with a band that had that happen to, not because of Nirvana, but literally I was tour managing. We were on the road and doing radio shows or radio interviews across Canada, promoting a single saying, this is coming out. Literally in weeks. So songs to radio shows we're opening for like 3 Days Grace, The Truths, Theory of a Dead Man, doing festivals and then our own club dates. And the record rep came out to Vancouver and after the show said, there's no more money in rock and maybe your album will get released next year.
Wow.
And that was it. So often the disconnect between industry and artist is the industry is trying to go, this is what people want. Here's our roster. On our roster, what do people want and what do people not want? Where are we putting our investment and money and time and effort? And where are we not? And that's just how it is. And it's the same with booking agents. It's the same with promoters. And if we can go back to the start where I said people add value, well, how many streams do you have? Well, that's going to be people. How many tickets can I sell? That's going to be people. How many, fans and every engagement is with a person. So
how big is your mailing list? It's all people. Your mailing list is all people. Yeah. So then
all people.
So bringing it back a bit, then Daryl, like for artists and for my listeners that are, you know, musicians trying to figure out what they can do. So join a community such as DIT. Come to events like the one you have coming up, Indie Week. Maybe tell a little bit of, I'll put it underneath here. And, don't give up and keep going.
Well, yeah, like for instance, when you meet someone, one of the things that like, especially during COVID times, we were saying is one of the first things you should think about is how can I help you? Not how can you help me? And I feel that tends to be like, hey, come to my show. That's helping me, not you.
Hey, how does you, why would it help you to come to my show unless you're coming to see something you've never seen that I want you to learn from? And it's like, maybe you have an angle, but otherwise, like, we have this new special lighting thing you got to see, or we've got, I don't know.
You know what? For the most part, I know friends go to friends shows. So if you make friends, and a lot of them, you have a lot of people come to your shows, and then they tell friends. Now that's people that you don't know coming to your shows.
And then so on and so on and so on.
It's exactly.
It's like that commercial.
Right. And I got to say, the powerful aspect of online communities is the fact that you can meet and make friends with people in the industry, and they will help you. But you got to understand, everybody in the industry is hit up by so many people. Why do you matter? Well, how can I help you?
Right? Exhibit A. I got Sherry Chung on my last podcast, an amazing composer. She's doing the music for the new Gremlins show. She did all the Riverdale stuff and a lot of other new things that are just coming up, but we're going to talk about it next time. If I go to some conference in LA and I run into her, we're going to hang out and talk, you know, because we've had this one-on-one, like if I run into you in Toronto, right? So by having these podcasts, I'm helping promote their stuff initially, but then now they're someone I know, you know, and I can, if I see them, they're going to run over and say hi, or at least connect in some way. Exactly. As long as I'm not a dick about it and promote it properly and like post this on Monday instead of waiting 2 months to edit it.
Yeah, like I was just at ReaperVon in Germany and had a lot of meetings. One of our sponsors said, hey, I'm in Germany right now. I'm like, oh yeah, are you in Hamburg? Yeah. Oh, well, you should meet Tim from the Berlin Music Commission, who I just was hanging out with 3-4 weeks ago.
Perfect.
And then, so that's what I mean. Then you help make other people's connections. You become valuable because of who you know. And yeah, it's who you know and treat people right. And, you know, but yeah, so our Indie Week conference is online. We used to be an in-person festival and conference, but COVID killed that. This is our 20th year as Indie Week, which is crazy. But the conference is online. We are doing one day in person in London, Ontario. That's November 11th. Online is November 6th through 9th. And why London? Because we're launching a new music festival and it's called Venue by Venue. This year, we're focusing on London, Ontario artists. The whole idea and concept is support the local community and build up. So next year, we will allow Ontario artists. The year after that, Canadian artists. And the year after that, we're planning to have international, which is why I was also traveling around at conferences, talking to everybody about it all to plant the seeds.
I thought you were doing London and then another town like Hamilton, but you're just going to... I didn't understand that at first. So you're just doing it in London and growing it from there. I went to Western in London. So I actually lived in London for a while. I used to go to Call the Office. I saw Glue Leg and I'm the Earth at Call the Office in London. We saw bands like that, you know.
So you said, sorry, Glue Leg and?
Glue Leg and I'm the Earth when they were doing the Levitate. Were doing Levitate, yeah. And then years later, Thermocline got to open for Edwin at the Navin Fair, and it was pretty epic.
Yeah. No, Call the Office was such a staple there. And London is the designated music city by UNESCO, and it's the only one in Canada.
What does that mean?
Well, basically, when you have that designation, then all of a sudden, like, basically, there's really active music office run by Corey Crossman in London. And so now they've got access to network with the world, with other UNESCO music cities. And that means sharing of information on how do you build a music city? What do you do to build up the community?
Could you just explain what UNESCO is?
UNESCO, I don't remember what UNESCO stands for, but from my understanding, UNESCO is kind of like they will sort of like they've got different categories. Like this is a UNESCO heritage site. So like say Roman Colosseum, and it's a protected space, and recognized as historically significant. So when it's like a music city, it's significant in the music community. They know it's active, they're growing. So it may open more funding possibly for the city. But I know like it also opens up trade with other music cities. So I know Corey, for instance, has traveled to like Sweden and Brazil and has other trips coming up where they talk about, if you gather people, like-minded people, say other people from music cities in one place, think of it as almost like a conference sort of thing, but it's just invite only. But they go, well, what's working in your city? Well, this is what's working in our city. What's similar? What's different? How can we get better based off of what you already know? So it's a sharing of knowledge and programs. And then as well, I believe it'll also help trade of like export, say artists from Music City A to Music City B.
So it helps Canadians get out in the world a little bit.
It will.
Because like you said,
not overnight, it takes time. Yeah.
A really important thing that you said was, and I think this is when you were talking to Steve, I forget, but you were saying something about there's not enough population in Canada for artists to succeed without going internationally. So you need to go internationally just to make money, like kind of thing. And a lot of people don't realize, well, can't you just be big in Canada like Widemouth Mason was or Sloan, and then they don't get anywhere else and the record labels keep him in a domestic deal. Like, I don't know, I've heard so many horror stories, but yet those bands kind of made it. So you're not sure yet what's available.
Yeah, I saw a graph, like a pie graph earlier today about music markets. And it's like, China, I think, has the biggest population that's active in music.
Send it to me. I'll stick it right here.
No, it's on Facebook. I saw it. And I think US was third. Brazil is in there and all this. And then there's this one big other. Canada is somewhere in other. Like, we don't even have a sliver, like a piece of the pie ourselves. But when I was in Germany, Canada is in the top 10 of music markets of the world. But there's stats like when I talked to Margaret McGuffin from Music Publishers Canada, the top earning artists, I think she said is around 72% of the top earning artists of publishing, 72% of the money comes from outside of Canada. So that means only like 28% comes from inside of Canada.
Okay, so a question for you, for a new artist that has a CD out that doesn't know what to do first from an international perspective, if they want to try to market outside of Canada, what would you recommend they start doing? Or are you saying, should they play bigger at home first? Because obviously that doesn't seem to work, right?
No, it does. Yeah, you gotta work your home base first. You have to educate yourself on what it means to be export ready. We do have sessions talking about that, especially at Indie Week. Like, what does export ready mean? You need to know that, because otherwise you're not going to be even considered.
I don't know any bands that talk like that, really. Like, what's export ready? Most musicians are like, no, we're awesome. But it's like, what does export of the country ready mean? And do they even have a concept of that, right? So
that's, yeah. Are you a member of your local or provincial MIA? Like, are you part of a music association? The music association is often giving the information, but also contacts you need. Are you getting grants? Are you self-sufficient? Have you done certain aspects,
Another thing too is musicians insurance. When you're with your local union, you can then get insured on your gear. I have to pay $300 a year for $10,000 of insurance from Halifax Insurance Company. And I had like $2,000, $3,000 guitars that were covered. It's not covered under your house insurance if someone steals it,
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
And we work with insurance too. Like, for instance, Case Insurance does sessions for us talking about it. We're trying to do every aspect of the business, but you really got to focus local first. And that's actually really easy, no matter where you're at. And then you do research, like, why would I go to Germany? Does my music connect with Germans? And a lot of times artists go, here's an opportunity to go somewhere, and they just go, but they don't even know if their music relates to that market. So that means not export ready.
Trial and error.
Yeah, well, know where you're going and why.
Right.
Do research, And that's why going on these trade missions or conferences. So I went to ReaperBon and I did a trade mission with SEMA. And 2 days in Berlin before ReaperBon was meet the Germans, learn the German market. They talked about, here's the top 10 list. You know, Brazil's now number 9, first time up. Canada was in there. China was in there. UK was in there. And Germany was in there and a few others. But you get to, and Asia, you know, and you get to know things. And you get to know people who know things. And then you can call them. And, you know, why would you be going to Germany? What is this your market? And then, you know, knowing some of the finances, what's the budget needed to go to, you know, I've been taking artists to Brazil and, you know, some people ask and I'm like, well, one thing is our dollar is worth 4 times there. So when you're there, it's actually really cheap. If you go overseas to UK, now our dollar is half. And okay, well, man, a Big Mac is like $15. Like, holy crap. Like, it's way expensive to just do the smallest thing. You know, and you have to know visas. Do I need a visa or do I not need a visa? And how far in advance do I need to get the visa?
Or and what do you have to say to get into the country without getting yelled at for working?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a tourist.
It's hard enough to get in. It's hard enough to cross the US border for, like, people don't realize, like, are you going down there? Oh, you'll have to work here. They're like, work. You know, you got to watch what you say. You got to have the visas in order or you're going to get screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all part of it. Right. And you learn by being around the right people and doing the right events and conferences and webinars and seminars and mixers. Like it's a full-time gig, you know, in learning, like I'm learning all the time still. You know,
and it's been about a year and a half since we first talked to you and you've come a long way. I'm pretty proud of you guys. So anything on the horizon that we don't know about?
We've got a lot planned for DIT, like other content that's going to be coming up. It's some stuff has taken a little bit longer this year than we anticipated. And I've actually been at more conferences than I anticipated. Like
you're all over the place.
This is a long... Yeah, this is the longest I've been home, and I've been home since Sunday.
Well, thanks for taking the time to speak to me. I appreciate it. I know it's been hectic, so.
It's been hectic, I gotta say. And I've got another month of hectic, and then it calms down, thankfully.
I'm doing karaoke tomorrow night, because I run it on Saturdays, and it's fun. It helps me with my crowd banter. We're going to do the Masked Singer.
Nice. Well, Halloween, right?
That's a joke. It's like, if you're scared, wear a mask, and no one will know who you are.
Yeah. Perfect. Awesome. Love it.
Great talking to Daryl again on the Musicians Insider. I'm Cronus. Thank you so much for having you on here again and coming back. I look to see you on season 3. I look forward to having you on again and telling us more about after these events happen and where else you're around the world.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I'll just do a quick plug. If you haven't checked out DIT Community, we're in the App Store. Just look up DIT Music Community. And you can always go to indieweek.com. And really where we're the most active online is Instagram. So you can follow us at IndieWeek Instagram, and we post everything there.
Perfect. All right, great. Thank you, Daryl.